Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Life Combos with Tyriana. I'm your host, Tyriana Evans, and I'm so happy that you are here. Something happened to the first introduction for today's podcast, so that's why I'm jumping in now. But stay tuned because today's podcast starts right now.
I'm not going to lie, school kind of got the best of me towards the last few months of the spring semester, but with it now being summer, I hope to record more episodes and upload them more regularly. So yeah, please, you know, reach out to me on Instagram or message me and let me know what episodes you all would like to hear on the podcast or anything that you want me to talk about. I'm definitely planning to bring more people to the podcast as, you know, allows people's like schedules are able to work for that. But yeah, super excited to be back and talk some a little bit about life updates and how the semester went and yeah, what I'm looking forward to during the summer. So a lot has happened since the last time I recorded the podcast. I think the last time I dropped an episode, it was back in January. So I have now officially wrapped up my second year of my PhD program studying history. Whoop, whoop. I'm very excited. I am just, you know, I'm getting closer to the finish line. I will say that getting a PhD is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So I am just, you know, running those miles and eventually the marathon will come to an end. And hopefully that end will be in 3 years or sooner. Prayers up. But I thought for today's episode, it would be nice to kind of like wrap up the highs and the lows of my second year and reflect on turning, you know, 28. Now I'm really officially in my late 20s. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about some of the lessons I've just learned from my early 20s and things that I'm just looking forward to in the future. So I will say when I was in high school, I was working this like volunteer and internship thing. I promise it's connected to what I'm about to do. But I found that it was really nice at the end of a day that our managers would have this thing called roses, thorns, and bloom. And so every day we would go around and share what our rose was for the day or the week, what our thorn was, and then our bloom. So like, you know, the rose is equated to the highs, like what was something good that happened. The thorn is equated to the lows, like what's something that was really hard to overcome. And then a bloom is like, what am I looking forward to? What am I excited about? And so I thought it would be kind of cool with this solo episode to just kind of reflect myself about my roses, my thorns, and my blooms. So for roses, I, like I mentioned, just wrapped up my second year of my PhD program. And so now I have officially finished all of my coursework. So that is one rose that I'm very excited for, that I have officially passed all of my classes. I will say that it was hard, especially the last two research seminars, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in my thorns. But overall, I'm just super thankful to now be done with like actually going to campus and taking classes. And now I'm more just in my role of being a graduate teacher assistant within the department. And then also just making sure that I'm preparing for my comprehensive exams. And I will say comprehensive exams are basically just what makes you an official doctoral candidate for my program. And you have a list of books that are broken up into different categories. So based on what you're studying, so for me, that's specifically 19th century U.S. history, 20th century U.S. history, and then my special field is African-American history. So I have to read a lot of like the well-known books in those lists and in those specific subject matters, and then I have to be tested on that, and it consists of writing papers, oral exams, written exams. It is a very tedious process, but hopefully by the end of next school year, so spring of 2026, I will be an official doctoral candidate, and that is something that I'm really looking forward to now, like, after that, officially focus on my dissertation. So one of my roses for this school year, so not even just for the spring semester, but for both the fall and spring, was that I was quoted in one of my favorite magazines in the entire world, something that I grew up reading when I was younger, and that is the Teen Vogue. Ah! I was quoted in an online article that they published back in November. So this was back in the fall, and it was a dream come true. And I'll talk a little bit about how that even happened. So I was scrolling on X, as one does, especially as a former journalist. I still follow a lot of journalists on there, and you know, although it's kind of hard to differentiate between whether something is real news or fake news, I think it's still good to just follow people that I know are reputable and kind of follow the stories that they are writing or working on. So on my timeline, one of the people who was posting a call out to interview potential subjects was Ayana Ishmael, who works for Teen Vogue, and she just does a lot of really great, amazing stories for the magazine. And she was writing a story because this is close to like the election that we recently had about the history and legacy of the Silk Press, because a lot of people were talking about the presidential candidate Kamala Harris's hair and just kind of like what it means to the Black community to have a Silk Press. And again, it can be a polarizing topic just because you are straightening your natural hair. So there's people who obviously are comfortable with doing it. And then there's another group of people who are like, oh, like I'd rather just prefer to wear my hair natural and not put any heat on it whatsoever. So she asked people to reach out to her if they would be interested in talking for the interview. And I re-messaged her, sent her an email, and was just like, hey, like I grew up reading Teen Vogue. I know I'm in my late 20s now, but I would love to just talk about my experience getting a Silk Press. And, you know, just like, especially being a PhD like history student, I wanted to talk about it from the perspective of the historical aspect, especially when we consider the legacy of Madam C.J. Walker and like her hair company and how she really like pioneered the silk press and like straightening Black women's hair. So she reached back out to me, responded to my email and said, yeah, like I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about the story. And it's very interesting because I would say maybe about 2 years before this had even happened, I had really been thinking a lot about my hair recently and what it meant to my identity and just a lot of the, I'm going to be honest, like historical trauma that is wrapped around Black women's hair, a lot of the microaggressions that we experience on a daily basis because of our hair. And, you know, we've seen things in the mainstream media, like the Crown Act, to make sure that Black women are not discriminated against in the workplace if they choose to wear natural hair. It's also a very big conversation in journalism, like if you should appear on air with braids or if you should, you know, wear your hair natural or if it's better to just have it straight or a wig. Like it's just very interesting. And so I have been grappling with this topic for a long time and just kind of fleshing out my identity around it and why I feel comfortable straightening my hair or how does it make me feel when people maybe only compliment my hair when it's straight and not when it's like natural or in twist or in braids? Like, what does that mean to me? And how do I kind of like internalize that? And so when she sent me back like the questions to answer, I was kind of thinking through all of this, but also incorporating like the historical aspect of Madam C.J. Walker and what she did for not only just Black women and making them feel more comfortable in styling their hair during that period, but also just building this huge business and making her such a wealthy woman in the Black community and someone who was able to just help uplift because she trained other Black women to become hairstylists as well. So that gave them their own source of income during a time when they were, a lot of these women are like leaving like plantations and they're in like the segregated South. So I sent her back my answers, and then I would say a few weeks later, she published the article, and I was quoted. So it wasn't obviously everything that I had written in my responses to her, but she incorporated like the Madam C.J. Walker aspect of it, and then kind of shared just my thoughts about how I believe that getting a silk press is a form of self-care for Black women. And that's just because it's a time where you don't have to kind of style your hair every day. Like you can just kind of let your hair breathe in a way, not have to worry about it, kind of wake up and go. And it's something that makes your life a lot easier. And so when I was reading it, I was incredibly emotional because it's like, I think growing up and my mom having, like, my sister and I have a subscription to Teen Vogue. I think oftentimes people, when you hear the word Vogue, you think it's just fashion, but Teen Vogue is amazing in writing articles about current events, the current times, and how young people are being politically active. That's definitely something that they have shifted more towards as the years have gone by and, like, as I've grown up. And so it just was very inspiring to know that there could be another young girl that's, like, very similar to me, who's reading this Teen Vogue article and can kind of go, like, oh, well, maybe one day, like, I can be in this magazine, or I can write for it, I can be a journalist. Like, I'm glad that I was able to have a hand in that. And then just the cherry on the top of all of this is that when they posted the Instagram story promoting the article, they selected one of my quotes, like, out of, you know, a lot of the quotes that were in the article, they used one of mine as the slides, and it was just, like, amazing. And I'll explain a little bit later why it was just more of, like, a confirmation of walking and the plan that God has for me, just because the fall semester was also really rough. So I will, you know, I keep saying I'll get to it later, and I will, because I do think it's important to talk about the positives first and then, you know, reflect on, like, the hardships as well. But it was just great to have, like, all of my friends and family read it, and, you know, the professors that I TA for, and I was in their classes, like, sharing the article with them. And, you know, it was shared, like, on the department's Facebook and the X there. So it was just, like, a very inspiring moment for me to know that, like, it was just, in a lot of ways, confirmation. Like, I can't stress that enough. It was just knowing that when God had called me to pursue a PhD, and I was always wondering, well, how am I going to combine the journalism and how is it going to work out? And to just have this kind of, like, fall in my lap in a way, but to know that, like, God orchestrated this, and to just be able to now, if you say, like, yeah, I was quoted in Teen Vogue, like, Condé Nast, like, it's just so... I keep saying so, but it's just, it's really humbling, and I'm thankful, and it's not an opportunity that I take lightly. And I hope that it is one of many more articles and interviews that I do where I can just continue to bridge the gap between history and current events and make it, you know, easy to digest for, like, everyday people who are curious about these things. So it was just 10 out of 10. Amazing. I was so thankful. And then to kind of wrap up my second semester this year, I turned, as I mentioned earlier, 28 in March. And so this is, you know, a pivotal chapter. I'm really getting towards the end of my 20s. I, you know, as I've reflected on, have spent the majority of my 20s, with the exception of, like, 1 year in college and in school. And so school has definitely shaped a lot of my experiences in my 20s. And I'm obviously looking forward to my 30s and what that means to not have to have school shape a lot of it. But this was the first time in a really long time that I gathered a lot of my friends for a birthday dinner. It's something that I haven't done in a really long time. And it was just so great to have so many people that I love and that, you know, have been in my corner and supported me and are cheering me on and, you know, want to see me succeed at this table. And it was just, like, amazing to have people from different chapters of my life. Like, I had friends from GW, friends from my time in journalism, and then current friends from, you know, my time as a PhD student. And it was just a really nice dinner. Like, we talked. I kind of came up with this game where, because everyone didn't really know each other, I had, like, a little Ziploc bag where I put different, like, icebreaker questions, but they were, like, fun icebreaker questions. Like, if you had $10,000, like, what would you do with it? And then some other ones, like, what was your, like, worst first date experience? But I had them separated, like, fun and then, like, spicy questions. So a lot of people just chose the more fun. I obviously wanted to be, you know, a little edgy, so I did, like, the spicy questions. But it was just a really great time, and I am so thankful for everyone that came out. I know that everyone's lives are so busy, and it's especially, you know, we make fun of it online to say, okay, like, you know, you reach out to your friend and you have to plan out, like, 2 weeks in advance to see them, or sometimes, like, 2 months. And I know that everyone has, like, a crazy schedule. and there's a lot happening and everyone's balancing so much, but just for everyone to take out like 2 hours of their day to celebrate me and celebrate my birthday, and was just amazing. And I also celebrated my birthday with my family as well. Like, I did a dinner with them. So I was racking up on all the dinners. And that was also nice, because for the last few years, especially after COVID, I really haven't had a birthday party. Like, my birthday happened literally during the week of when lockdown started and COVID. And then, like, as the years went by, there was always like a repeat of like, sometimes there would be like another shutdown. So then like, I couldn't have a birthday party. And then it's just like, the years just got away from me. But it was nice to have like my aunts and my grandparents at my family birthday dinner. And just, I also did a very similar for them, like the little icebreakers, but I made them more advice-based, just because I love listening to people that are older than me who have wisdom that they can share things with me, and just like how I can become a better person is something that's really important to myself and my self-development and growth. So it was just like a very nice birthday dinner. And again, I'm thankful for my family taking time out of their schedule to celebrate me. So overall, I felt so loved and I felt so embraced by my family and friends as I celebrate my birthday. So that kind of brings me into just a few things I want to talk about in terms of lessons from my early 20s that I learned that I think are important to share with this, my, you know, listeners and just anyone who's out there. But the first thing that I have learned from my 20s, my early 20s, is that you will lose friends. It is inevitable. And I say this because you're going through changes, your friends are going through changes. And sometimes, like, yes, you're lucky enough to have those friends that you've known since childhood. Maybe you've had friends since you've known since you were babies because your parents were friends. But then there's other times where maybe you became friends with somebody in high school or college. And then, you know, after graduation or even while in college, like, you all just kind of just like drift apart. And that's okay. Sometimes when you're growing, you can't always hold on to the people of your past. And it's important to know that you really should seek God. Like, again, for me, I seek God about like, hey, like, who should be involved in my life? Who should I have in my corner? I don't want anyone around me that's going to hold me down or hold me back. Like, I want people who are not only going to support me, but they're going to call me to better and they're going to call me to more. And so I have definitely lost friends that I had during my early 20s. You know, whether they were former roommates or people that were in my program or were studying something, or even just like friends from my first job, like, it's just, it's inevitable, as I said, like, you're going to lose friendships. But it's like, you know, what can you take away from that? I'm always kind of reflecting, like, what is it that this friendship taught me? What is it that I hope to bring into my new friendships that I'm developing? And wish them well. I don't think, like, especially if something, like, if you just drifted apart from a friend and it wasn't like you all had a falling out, like, I sincerely always say this, and people will say, like, Tariana, it's kind of just like a, oh, you know, a sly comment when I say, like, I wish you well, but no, I genuinely mean it. I think as a Christian, it's important to know that everyone is a child of God and everyone deserves to be like respected and loved. And so if you are drifting away from somebody, I really hope that your life continues to go well for you. I hope you find people that support you in your dreams and your goals and aspirations. And if I can't be that for you, then it's okay. But I really do still want to see you succeed. You know, I believe that you can cheer on people from afar. You don't have to necessarily be there in their lives, but again, it's really like no bad blood, no resentment. Like, I am thankful for the people that were brought into my life for specific seasons and for particular reasons, but I'm also excited for the friendships that I'm going to make as the years go by. And then for the ones that I currently have, and like maintaining those and making sure that we are, you know, calling each other to better and to higher. So I'm very excited for that. The second piece of advice is that it is never too early to start preparing for your future. I think I've received some bad advice when people are like, oh, when you go to college, like, just have fun. You have time to figure it out. And that's really true. Like, yes, you do have time. You don't have to say that I know that in the next 3 years, I'm going to be working this job. And then after that, I'm going to be this manager. And I'm going to, like, it's okay to not have your life planned out, because obviously life happens and you could plan to the T and be incredibly organized. And then everything falls apart. Everything crumbles and nothing is like how you imagined. And I think it's even more so when you decide to realize that your life is not your own, that, you know, God is in control of it and he has the final say. So sometimes you do things that you wouldn't necessarily see for yourself. But there are certain things that you can do to just put yourself in better positions. I think as I've mentioned, I'm very big on like journaling and writing and like diaries and making sure that I'm like reflecting on what's currently happening in my life, but also writing down my dreams and goals for the future. I cannot tell you how inspiring it is to look back on things that I wrote in the past to see, oh my gosh, like I had that dream, or that was something that God, you know, pushed me to do, or that was something that I felt like God has spoken to my heart. And then it came to fruition, it came to pass. And it was just like encouragement. And again, something that kind of just helped me to realize that when you're in alignment with God, like things can happen for you that you would have never in your wildest dreams imagined for yourself. And it's just confirmation. And I can truly say that looking back on some of the things that I've written in the past, like I knew that I wanted to potentially be the commencement student speaker, which happened. I knew I wanted to one day travel to Africa, which has happened. So it's so important to just like whatever you can do to help make sure that you achieve your dreams and goals, like make sure that you do that. I was talking to my grandmother this past weekend and I told her, you know, she was just telling me that she's so proud of me for getting my like PhD and going back to school. And like, yeah, it's hard. And I would rather be making a lot of money right now, but that's another story for another time. But I told her, and it's something that I have echoed always in my life. And it's just from, you know, my childhood experiences, women in my life that I've seen, women that maybe I followed online or anything, but I have always wanted to give myself as many options in life. I never wanted to pigeonhole myself into one thing. I never wanted to say I can only be good at this one thing and this one thing only, and this is all I'm going to do. I've realized that it is a benefit to be multifaceted, to be multi-talented, to be multi-hyphenated. So I am so thankful that I have pushed myself to try to do it all, right? Like, okay, I'm going to study journalism, but you know what? I also like history. I'm going to study African-American history, but you know what? I'm going to get another degree. I'm going to get a PhD, and now I'm going to do history, and I'm going to work in a museum, and I'm going to work in journalism. I'm going to work in PR. And I know that regardless of what happens, and even in this like current job climate, that eventually when I graduate, I will have options for myself. I don't have to look at something and be like, I can only be this or I can only do that. I can say, I've had all these experiences. I've worked hard to be the best that I can in each of these fields. And if I can find a career or a job in one of those things, then I'll be okay. And I know that, you know, what God has for me is for me. But it has been incredible to talk to people and they're like, wow, like you've done so much and you do this and you're like, and I cannot tell you, like, yeah, it's exhausting because I think it's easy to just focus on one thing and be good at that one thing. But when you choose to really stretch yourself, to really say, hey, like, I'm going to do everything that I can to learn about other people's cultures and their lives and their experiences and the lessons I can learn and the books I can read and the podcasts I can listen to, you're going to be a well-rounded person that people are going to realize that you are irreplaceable in whatever field you decide to work in. So I definitely recommend, you know, start preparing for your future. Obviously, don't stress about it, but there are things you can do to set you up for success. And lastly, this kind of connects to the last point, but trust your journey, especially when it does not look like other people's paths. My path in life so far has not looked like any of my friends, really. Like, it's very interesting that especially right after undergrad, I went straight into my master's. And I will say, like, I have friends who are now, like, starting their master's programs, whereas, like, I'm in my PhD program. And that felt weird because it was, like, everyone was getting jobs, but I was, like, still in school. So then that made me kind of delayed in starting in the workforce because I started after I got my master's. But I realized that all of those experiences prepared me for where I was going and working in journalism and PR. And so I don't have regrets in the path that I've taken and the way that, you know, God has planned out my life for me so far. I am honestly like blown away. I think this is like very funny, but to kind of go back to the journalism thing, one of the things, one of my prayers that I had for God, I was like, okay, God, like I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this PhD. But I would still really like to do journalism. Like if there's any way you can do that, like please. And in like part-time jobs that I've had, literally walking on campus, I have been on the news more on camera, obviously because, you know, I was working behind the camera, but I have been more in the news and quoted in publications than I have ever been at any other time in my life. And I felt like it was God's way of being like, I got you. Like, I know your heart's desires. I know what you genuinely want to do. And I'm going to put you in positions and, you know, provide opportunities for you to do that. And I really do get teary-eyed when I think about it, because it's like when you are saying no to something and no to what you think life is going to go or how you think things are going to be, you kind of feel like you're grieving what, yeah, you're grieving what you've always hoped for, but you also don't know, you're grieving like the future in a way of like, if I'm not doing what I thought I would do, I don't think my future is going to pan out the way that I hope to. And I can say now with 100% confidence, just after finishing this like second year of my program, to know that when you say yes to God, like he's going to make sure that he gives you the desires of your heart and as the far as they are like aligned with his will and his word. And so that has been amazing to see that happen for me in terms of journalism, no longer even working in journalism, but still having like one foot in the door. It's just been something where I'm like, okay, God, like I see what you're doing. I trust you. And thank you for these like small moments that I'm able to, you know, be involved in that. So that has been a really important lesson that I've learned. So those are like, you know, the three things that I wanted to share that I have really, you know, had to learn in my early 20s and lessons that I'm still learning now, but I am thankful for those lessons and looking forward to the new lessons I'm going to learn in my late 20s and early 30s. All right. So now let's go to the more difficult part of this podcast, the thorns. So these are the moments that were really hard over the last school year that I really had to rely on my faith and just pray that it would all work out. So one of those things is that I was felt like I was powering through burnout. Now, as I mentioned, I've spent almost all of my 20s in school in very rigorous programs, rigorous academic programs. And I was really struggling this past semester finding the motivation to just sit down and do the research for my seminar class and write my paper. I would literally sit down at my laptop and just like doze off and fall asleep or scroll on social media. And I really had to just, you know, as we call it, have that come to Jesus moment and be like, hey, like, Tariana, you cannot come this far to give up now, right? Like you are literally at the finish line. You can see the finish line as far as finishing all your coursework. And this can't be the time that you give up. And so I really had to just make sure that I was prioritizing rest, prioritizing like, you know, the small moments of like maybe not focusing on classes. So maybe I'm reading like a magazine article or I'm going out somewhere to walk around or going to the mall or whatever that looked like to just get away from my research and my writing. But it was definitely one of the hardest semesters this past spring that I've ever had in my life because I really struggled with finding just an ounce of motivation to get through these classes. And I'm not going to lie, I probably crashed out once maybe like this past semester, just like having, you know, a moment of being in my emotions, but we made it. And I'm really thankful that I pushed through, that I didn't let those, you know, moments get the best of me. Thankful for my family and for everyone that, you know, supported me and for all the prayers, because I know that was pivotal in completing that research seminar class and doing research that I eventually hope to incorporate into my dissertation. I would say another thorn of this past year was just a health scare that I had in the fall. I will say the fall semester, I posted this on my personal Instagram, but I cannot emphasize that it was a hot mess. Like the fall semester was a hot mess for me. It was like balancing this intense research class. It was like my first semester back being a TA after not TAing for probably like 2 years at this point now, like almost 3 years. I had this health scare where they just had to make sure that, you know, I didn't have like potential like cancers. And it was just like a really scary process. And no one was like really telling me what was happening. Like as I was like reaching out to the doctors and like everyone's like, yeah, like this doesn't look good, but we'll, you know, check it out. And thankfully, like, I thank God I'm okay. I got good results and it's something that they're just going to continue to monitor. But it was definitely so scary balancing that while in school and then trying to stay on top of my homework while also being like a present like daughter and sister and then trying to incorporate dating, which we'll talk about another time, in my life. And it just all, if you've ever seen that meme of like Elmo and there's like fire behind him, that's how my life felt. Like it just felt like everything was on fire. And I just remember like at the end of that semester, just literally saying to God, like, I really hope I never have a semester like that again. Like there, I put this on my Instagram. I was like, there are seasons in our life that you do not want to repeat. And that for me was the fall 2024 semester. It was, cannot emphasize this enough, a hot mess. But God is good. I survived. And I really am just, it makes the good days and the good moments in life a lot better to handle. And for that, I am thankful that, you know, we survived the storm. Like I was drowning. I was getting hit by wave after wave after wave, but I made it. We're not going to do it again. You know, I don't have to take another research seminar class. So I'm just thankful for that. But I guess the moral of me saying this is like, you're going to have those moments in life where it just feels like everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. And you're just going to have to change like your disposition and your outlook and rely on your friends and family for strength to just be like, okay, hey guys, I can only give 10% right now. And I need you all to help me as much as possible, or 80 to 90% if you're like between 10 and 20, just like, you know, I need that support from you all. You know, rely on your family, get the support that you need, go to therapy, go to counseling, and I promise that like it will just help you overall with navigating those hard moments in life. So yeah, that was like, again, a very terrible thorn this last school year. I will say now, again, back to the positives, right? So the bloom, what am I looking forward to in this next season? So, you know, I still am not done with my program yet, but I think with it now being the second week in June of when I'm recording this, I'm really looking forward to the summer. I think the summer is going to be a lot better. I am proclaiming that, and I am, you know, saying that this summer is going to be a lot better than last summer. Last summer was just, again, like really hard. There were a lot of like low moments, family stuff and just personal things, and it was just not a great, it was not the best summer. But the summer has already felt just like a lot lighter. I feel a lot more grounded. Yeah, I think that's a good word. I feel grounded going into the summer, knowing that like I need to do my readings for my comprehensive exams. I need to make sure that I'm a good schedule, that I'm, you know, still balancing time for fun and hanging out with friends, but also doing fun things. Like I went to DC last week to kind of like sit at a coffee shop and get some work done. So I'm like, you know, I need to incorporate more like going to DC. Hopefully I'll go on vacation. So those are the things that I'm looking forward to, just like taking like at least 1 week off, not too much time, but 1 week off from reading and just being in the moment and the present and reflecting again on, you know, everything I've learned, but also what I am looking forward to. So definitely like comment down below, like what is your boom that you are looking forward to for this maybe next chapter in your life, or at least as far as like the summer, you can make it a little bit more lighthearted. I would love to hear some things that you're looking forward to. So that wraps up the solo episode that we have here, but thank you so much for listening. I am thankful for all of you all out there. I hope that the summer is going to be a lot of fun for you, and I hope that you spend time with family and friends, enjoy that vitamin D, get to a swimming pool, get to the beach, because you deserve it. You can't just work hard and not take breaks and relax. So again, I really hope that you have an amazing summer, and there will be more episodes, so make sure that you stay tuned. You can listen to this podcast on all platforms, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and I also highly suggest that you follow me on Instagram. It is Life Combos with Tyriana, so LifeConvos. The letter W, Tyriana, Tyriana. It's also going to be linked in the description box. So follow me on there, engage with like the posts that I have. Feel free to message me. What is something you're resonating with? What is something that you want to talk to me more about? Or what is something that you would like for me to highlight in future episodes of the podcast? So let me know. But as always, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye.